This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's hot, record-breakingly hot. Yesterday was the hottest June 17th on record in Chicago. Temperatures at O'Hare hit 97 degrees yesterday afternoon. It broke the record high of 96 degrees, which was set back in 1887. And high temperatures are expected through the rest of the week. So what is causing this heat wave and what's ahead? To answer those questions and learn about how to keep ourselves safe in this heat, I sat down with Scott Collis, atmospheric scientist at Argonne National Laboratory. And I started off by asking him about our record hot temperatures. Here's Scott.
It was hot.
It was hot. Yeah, but it's not necessarily the type of record we want to break, is it?
No, it's not. And the story will really shift later on in the week. While any temperature records are off the table for the rest of the week, the story will really turn to moisture and humidity, which is just as dangerous as raw heat for human health.
Okay. So we'll talk a bit more about that. But is it normal to see some 90-degree days in June? I think so, right?
It is, but not 97 on June the 17th. As you said, the record for O'Hare International Airport was broken. And this also came on the heels of some relatively cool weather. So it was quite shocking for Chicago.
So what is it that categorizes a heat wave? I mean, just looking at headlines everywhere, it just talks about a heat wave scorching the entire country. What do we mean when we say that?
So there is no official definition, but for this particular run of temperatures, it's the number of days in the row that are hot, and it's also the lack of relief at night. You know, we're getting heat indices later on this week that are climbing in some areas towards 100, but really only cooling off into the 70s overnight, not really giving that relief in the overnight period.
So when we say heat wave, we're talking about the number of days, or are we focused on the actual temperature, the number?
It's the number of days in a row that are above average, and especially, again, looking at that lack of relief in the overnight hours. The good news for some areas of Chicago is winds will slacken in some neighborhoods, which means that those neighborhoods will be oppressively hot. But by the lake at the moment is still running in the high 60s. So there will be some relief in those lake adjacent neighborhoods, and with the hope of maybe a lake breeze developing, especially on Thursday and Friday, but then with winds increasing on Saturday, and Saturday we'll see really heat indices again, especially around some of the south side neighborhoods really starting to hit those 100 degree heat indices, which is like how it feels when you take into account the body's ability to sweat and cool itself.
Okay. Well, you know, much of the Midwest is experiencing this right now, including Illinois and Michigan. We're in what is called a heat dome, Scott. What is that exactly?
So that is when we have this area of stable weather. We call it a high pressure system. That is coming over, actually it's coming from the Atlantic Ocean. So we call it Bermuda high pressure system. It's going into the easternmost states and just touching on the Midwest. This is making the weather stable. It's putting a cap on some of those thunderstorms. We're only getting these isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. But what it's also doing, it's directing winds from the Gulf of Mexico up over Texas and Oklahoma, tapping into that bathwater, warm water in the Gulf of Mexico, which is running over a degree Celsius warmer than normal right now.
And we should note, as we have this conversation, Scott, that heat is the deadliest weather event, right? More than hurricanes, more than floods, and tornadoes combined.
Yeah, so heat is the killer. You know, we've got this Twister movie coming out in July that everyone's getting all excited about. I'm a weather nerd. I like big storms. But Twisters, last year in 2023, there were 86 people killed by tornadoes. Yet, according to the National Weather Service, there were 207 fatalities due to heat. And wow. Heat is a particularly unfair killer because it hits our most vulnerable populations the worst.
Oh boy, are we in danger of people dying in this current heat wave?
Yes, we always are, especially folks who don't have access to relief from air conditioning, folks who have to work outside during the heat of the day. It's really, really important to stay hydrated. And again, if you can avoid it, and I know not everyone is able to avoid it, avoid strenuous exercise during the hottest times of the day, after about 11 a.m. to about 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Just speaking of the danger here, Scott, I noticed on the East Coast, New York Governor Kathy Hochul activated the National Guard to come in and assist. I mean, what does that signal to you as an atmospheric scientist?
Well, it shows me that people are taking it seriously. You know, hopefully opening hydration and cooling station to allow folks some relief.
So let's talk about that. What are the best ways here to stay cool and protect some of those people who you said are most at risk?
So the body's natural reaction to heat, to try to cool itself, is to sweat. That's actually why humidity and moist air is more dangerous than dry air, because moister air limits that evaporative cooling from the body. So you'll actually sweat more when it's wetter. And that's why when you find yourself sweating a lot, if you have to be outside, hydrate, and then hydrate some more to make sure that you're actually able to continue sweating. Again, if you can, limit your outdoor activity, especially if you have cardiovascular issues or any other underlying health issues. What heat does is it puts that extra stress on the body that exacerbates other mortalities and comorbidities.
Mm-hmm. Do these weather conditions affect air quality? I remember seeing an air quality alert on my cell phone last night.
So this is the very, very interesting thing, because it doesn't affect air quality, except there are what we call covariances. It is correlated to bad air quality. And that's because some of our worst air quality days come from condition when winds are slacker, when we have a lot of sunlight. Locally generated bad air quality comes from chemical reactions in our atmosphere that are in part fueled by sunny days.
How do these temperatures fit into what's happening across the country? As I mentioned, you know, what's happening on the East Coast, but what else is happening, especially here in the Midwest, the surrounding states?
Yeah, so at the moment, we're in a period of stagnant weather. The weather system that's sitting over us, that heat dome, as we said, it started yesterday, and it's not going to move out of our area to Sunday. This is because we have what we call a blocking weather system. It's the shape of those winds in the upper atmosphere that help move our weather systems on. Mm-hmm. At the moment, they are not allowing that heat dome to move on. That is only expected to really change as we go into the weekend. So we're getting cooler, drier conditions in through some of the mountain states, while we sit on the very western edge of that heat dome that extends across to the eastern seaboard to the Atlantic, that are experiencing those record temperatures. And we talked about that bath water warm Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
That same warm water is the thing that's been bringing record rains to Florida, that's been flooding that so much over in the tropics there. It's that same record warmth in the Gulf of Mexico that's directly influencing to the warm pattern we have over the Midwest at the moment.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we're not in a drought, but June has been a pretty dry month so far, Scott. So are we at risk of slipping into worrying conditions?
So this is a scenario we see playing out in climate models that are run by folks like the Department of Energy all the time. More of these drenching rains followed by flash drought. So May came in just under average rainfall for the month. It got kind of turned off towards the last third of May. We had drenching rains in the beginning of the May, and then we ran under average. And we're running about half an inch under average for June already. So we're actually seeing much lower than normal rainfall. We're not in drought right now. However, the National Drought Center has identified some areas of the Midwest as trending towards what we call abnormal dryness, which is kind of that precursor to drought-like conditions. Drought is not a lack of rainfall. Drought is actually determined by humans at the National Drought Center, and it's when we can expect impacts on agriculture, plant life, as determined by departures from normal, especially sudden departures from normal.
Right. Well, as you said earlier, the story eventually will become the moisture and the humidity. So tell us what in particular you're going to be keeping an eye on, Scott.
So again, what we're watching for is as those winds come from the Gulf of Mexico and bring that moisture up into our area, and as we get that kind of heat dome, it's not just the heat at the surface, it's the heat above the surface that keeps the atmosphere very, very stable, prevents thunderstorms from coming through. It's watching that heat index rise to, you know, above about 90 degrees, which is when folks really need to limit their outdoor activity, especially as those winds stagnate. The other thing I'll really be watching is the formation of a lake breeze. With this time of year where the temperature of the lake is very much below the temperature of the land, you can actually get winds being formed by that gradient in temperature, and that lake breeze can push inland and give us some relief.
That's Scott Collis, atmospheric scientist at Argonne National Laboratory. Thank you, Scott.
My pleasure, Sasha, and hope everyone manages to keep cool during this heat wave.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meh Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. All of Chicago's public pools are now open, and the city runs 6 cooling centers. Water fountains are available at Chicago Public Library locations. Now, if you see someone suffering from heat stroke, please call 911. Try to move the person to a cool place and cool the person down with water. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.